This morning we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, just two short verses to start with. There's some other verses that we may throw in or may not. I don't really know. But there's two verses, and these verses, Paul is telling the Corinthians, he just got through telling them earlier that all of the things that happened in the Old Testament were written down as a warning for them so that they could learn from the mistakes of other people. And he had told them of faith in Jesus versus the law. But he comes to this point, and I believe he feels like he's got to warn them that if you know about faith in Jesus and you turn and you go back to the old way of life, the old law, then you are making a mistake, and that is sin, because you're turning away from what God would have you do. And so as he warns the Corinthians, he also warns me and you today. And so as we look at this, I want us to understand, I'm going to read these passages, but as we do, we're going to apply them, I hope, today. We'll start in verse 12. It says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we just come before you. We know how weak we are. But Lord, I pray today that you show us where we can find strength, and that's in you. Lord, I pray your Spirit would move among us. I pray that you would take your word today and be glorified and honored. Lord, I lift it to you. I thank you and I praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, as we get into this passage, I talk to people all the time, and you may too, and they'll say, "Well, you know, I really don't feel like I'm tempted that much. I don't really feel like I mean, I know what's wrong and I know what's right, but I don't really feel tempted to do those things that are terrible. I don't feel tempted to do those things." And I think that partially that's because of our outlook towards temptation. You say, well, we know that James tells us that temptation comes when by our own desires, we are drawn away and we follow a lust and we give into it, and that's when sin comes in, and that sin eventually leads to death. But it all starts because we're drawn away because of our own desires. I can remember growing up seeing a little poster or a little statue that said, "The devil made me do it." Flip Wilson, now I'm dating myself here, was a comedian years ago, and that was his big theme, was to say, "The devil made me do it." The devil can't make you do anything. That's an excuse that we like to use. And so as we look at this, we can understand that people want to face temptations in different ways, and they're overtaken by temptations because of several different things, and we're going to look at them today. One reason I think that we're overtaken is because temptations are pretty subtle. Temptations can be so subtle. If we look at Jesus' temptation, if we went back into Matthew and looked at Jesus' temptations, that first one was so subtle. Here he is, he's been in the desert, he's starving, and Satan says, "Well, just make some bread out of these stones. You can do it." And it was so subtle because it was what he needed. It would be for his best benefit, it seemed like, because he was hungry. He'd been not eating for 40 days. And so Satan will try something very subtle. Other people don't recognize sins because they've already surrendered too long to it. Now that's getting a little pointed there, Pastor, but you know, like I said, it's on me more than it's on you. When it's subtle, I feel like I've been tricked into it. But when it's something that it's a part of my life and I've just given into it already so many times that I no longer see it as a temptation. It's just a part of life. Very unfortunate. Another reason people don't see or don't recognize temptation is because they do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then there is the Spirit is not there telling you that this is wrong, that you're being led to do something that you shouldn't be doing. And so as we think of those first three things, I want us to look at why now that you and I, because we know they're subtle, we know there are temptations that are out there that we just ignore, and we know that it's one of those things that we deal with. But the whole point of temptation is so that Satan can destroy your relationship with God. Satan doesn't have the power to do it on his own. He has to get you and I to go along with him. We have to walk away. And so he wants to destroy that relationship. So today I'm going to look at four reasons of why so many of us are overtaken by temptation. You might say, well, Pastor, I don't feel like I am overtaken by temptation. Well, the first one is because we don't feel like we are going to be tempted. We're not expecting it. Because we go to church, we read our Bible, we pray, we are in a good, tight relationship with God, and so I'm not going to be tempted. I've heard people say, if you get closer to God, you won't be tempted. That's a lie. Because the closer you are to God, the more you're going to be tempted, because the more of a threat you are to Satan. And if you don't think there's Scripture to back that up, think about this. Jesus, we know He was tempted. We just talked about it. Look where He had just came from. He had just come from being baptized. The sky opens up. The Spirit comes down. God speaks from heaven. This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. If that's not enough, he goes and he spends 40 days communing with God, just him and God out in the desert. He's fasting, he's communing with God. And so you've just heard God say, that he was his son and he's proud of him, and then he spends 40 days just communing with him, and that's when he's attacked. So if you think that you're spiritual enough that you're not going to be attacked, you must be a little bit closer to God than Jesus was. Because Satan attacked him when he was as close as it was possible. But you know, so many times we don't come out and say it, but we have that feeling that I'm okay because I'm close to God, and so I'm not going to stumble. I'm not going to fall. But yet we put ourselves in those situations when that sin is going to be there to tempt us. Thinking you are too spiritual to be tempted, well, that's one that hits us, but it's not too bad. We can handle that because generally if we're in that relationship with God, it's pretty quick that He's going to point it out to us and we're going to hear Him. But yet, the next one, temptation overtakes us because we think we can handle it. That's what he's talking about here in this verse. In verse 12, he says, to the one that thinks he can stand, if you think you're strong enough that you can handle it, then you're trying to handle it on your own. And if you're trying to handle it on your own, you're saying, I don't need God. I don't have to. It's not that I'm too spiritual. That was the last one. This one is saying, I can handle this. I can handle the sin, the temptations that's there. If that was the case, why did Paul say that the temptations are there and that God is faithful because He knows we're going to need help? If God thinks you're going to need help and you don't think you need help, your wires are crossed. But when we think we can handle it, that's when we're in trouble. This next one, real quick, I want to look at. Temptation overtakes us because we're human. You ever talk to anybody and they have that mindset, well, you know, we have a human nature and so we're going to sin. True statement, but we use it as an excuse. Well, you know, God knows that I'm going to sin going into the day. God knows you're going to sin going into the day. And so many people just take it as it's okay. God's already got grace. In the New Testament, they even had the idea that the more I sin, the more grace God's going to show. And so that's a good thing because God is getting to show more grace. Hey, God has got to show a lot of grace over my life. But to have the attitude that there's nothing I can do about it. It's just a part of who we are. It's just a part of our human nature. And so therefore, it's okay. When you and I get to the point to think it's okay to sin, we're in trouble. But that's our attitude today. That's society's attitude is, it's the lifestyle, it's the attitude, it's the way things are. And at least I'm better than those. I may not be perfect. God knows I'm not ever going to be perfect, so why struggle to try? Because Jesus Christ died on the cross. That's why. We have to understand that we can't just take the excuse to say, I'm human, it's my nature. Because if you take that excuse to fall into temptation, then you're following a lie of Satan. It's that simple. You're following a lie of Satan if you're just saying, I'm going to sin. We know we're going to, but that's not the excuse just to give in to it. This last one we're going to talk about, and I know it seems like we're going through this really fast, but trust me, we'll probably slow down when it gets really pointed. And it may be really quick. We may hit the brakes. People are overtaken by sin. One, because they think they're too spiritual. Two, they think they can handle it. Three, because they think it's just their nature and they give in to it. But four, they just don't recognize it as temptation. I know that if it's a member of the opposite sex is dressed wrong, or I know that if it's drugs or alcohol or some other thing that I've been told my whole life is wrong, I know that's sin. And I know that to be in that situation that puts me there, that makes that desire want me to draw away, I know that sin. To be drawn to do something that we know, that we recognize, that we see as wrong. But I think our biggest problem with temptation is that we cut it off and we put it in this box of things that we know are wrong or that we think are wrong or someone else has told us is wrong. But in this whole other box, there are all the things that people say, well, this is right. This is good. This is okay. But you know what? I've done some studying this week and a lot of praying. And I come up with this. If something pulls you away from where God wants you to be, it's sin. That's a temptation anyway. It's not necessarily sin. But if something pulls you away from where God desires you to be, that is a temptation to sin. Because James tells us, to him that knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, that is sin. But if there's something in your life that's pulling you away from where God desires you to be, that's a temptation. And that temptation will lead you to sin when you go someplace or do something that's not God's will for you. That's what we've got to understand as Christians. We want to acknowledge those evil things, those things that we know are wrong. But we don't want to acknowledge those things that are okay and good by society, but they draw me away from God. If you understand that something in your life is drawing you away from God, then look at that as you standing there and Satan or the world has a rope around you and it's pulling you away from God. Why give in to that? But that's what we do. We want to say that because everybody else thinks it's okay, that it's okay. We have to understand that if a desire goes against God's Word, then that desire is the temptation to follow that desire is putting you against God's will. Now, I don't know what your desires, I don't know what things are flashing through your mind, and that's not my job. My job is not to do anything but to present God's Word. And when He says, if something is pulling you away from me, it's not my desire for you. Well, Pastor, I'm not doing anything bad. The things I'm doing are, nobody's getting hurt. It's not evil. Is it affecting your relationship with God? Because if it's affecting your relationship with God, then somebody is getting hurt. You are. But we have these spiritual blinders on sometimes to where we don't see that. Because, yeah, nobody got murdered or nobody was in a car wreck or nobody. And we look at all these worldly negative things that we think are consequences for sin. But consequences for sin, the first thing it does is it breaks a relationship with God. And if you're doing anything in your life that's breaking your relationship with God, think of the price that was paid for your relationship. The blood of Jesus Christ was paid so that you could have a relationship with God. And as long as it's not doing anything negative down here on this earth, then it's okay. No, it's not. We have to understand the price that was paid. And until you acknowledge that price, you're not going to see how it hurts the relationship. Now, if it hurts the relationship for me, that's one thing. And some people will say, you know, hey, that's my choice. But nobody else is getting hurt. As a parent, as a husband, as a friend, as a pastor, as a Sunday school teacher, as a deacon, as a boss, as an employee, you think your life doesn't touch somebody else? And if your relationship with Jesus Christ is broken, what do you think is going to happen to your kids' relationship? You know, it's one of those things that so many times, and I say this all the time, God, nowhere in the Bible does He say, I have grandchildren. He's got children and He doesn't have grandchildren. So no matter what your parents' relationship is with God, that does not control yours. It does not make yours automatic. And I think we understand that. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But you know, when we flip that coin over, it's not the same. Because I know there are a lot of times, and it's not always, we talked about that word this morning, didn't we? It's not always, but it's one of those things that when a parent, their relationship is hurt, something has happened in their relationship with God and something has altered it and they've drawn away, do you think that affects the children? You bet it does. Now, that doesn't mean that the children can't make their own choice, but I guarantee you it will make a difference in those children's lives. When we think that the temptations that we fall to in our life don't hurt anyone else, we're focused on ourselves. And we're not just focused on ourselves, but we're focused on our human self. Because if I'm focused on my spiritual self, then I'll realize I'm hurt. I'll realize the difference. But if I'm focused on me, then it's not a negative temptation if it doesn't affect anybody else. And if I'm focused on me, nothing affects anybody else. What we have to understand is that these temptations are things that can destroy your relationship. Now, praise God, a temptation is not sin. Because there is nothing that we can do to keep us from facing temptations every day. I used to love to watch Andy Griffith growing up. I still watch it probably every day at lunch. But I used to love it because it was just down home. It was good stuff. But you know, right now you can watch Andy Griffith, but that commercial's coming on. And that commercial's garbage. I can walk down the mall. I don't, but I can walk down the mall and what you see you can't control unless you're going to cover your eyes completely. You can't control the things that are out there, the temptations that are out there. You can't control them. But you can control what you do with them. But until you see them as that danger, again, go back to Jesus. He saw the whole purpose of Satan's temptations. Man, he was so subtle. And then he went on to being deceptive. Hey, just put yourself up here. Look at all the people. If you throw yourself down from the top of the temple, all these people are going to see how good you did. How God protected you. How God come in and he... So deceptive because that wasn't God's will for him. So he's subtle, he's deceptive, but he's defiant. I'll give you everything if you just worship me. Well, we're not going to do that. We might be deceived because it's subtle. We might be deceived because we don't see it. But surely we're not going to be defiant when it comes to falling to temptation. I'd have to say, yeah, we are. Because anytime I'm choosing me over God, it's defiant. And I do that every day. And I know I said earlier, being close to God is not going to keep you from seeing these temptations. It's not going to keep them from being there, but that's how you fight them. Look at the last half of this verse. No temptation has overtaken you. Oh, I'm in trouble because I've had a lot of them overtake me. But what he's saying is no temptation is more than you can handle. And they are common to man. So again, if you think you're above temptation, then you must not be human because it's common to man. But God is faithful. Right in the middle of this verse, God is faithful. He can be nothing else. Even when you and I show no faith, God is still faithful. It says, He will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. He knows what you're able to deal with. But with that temptation, so understand that the temptation is still coming. Just because God loves me and God knows that what I'm able to handle, I hear people misquote this all the time. Well, God will never give you more than you can handle. That's a lie. God's going to give you more than you can handle so that you'll fall on your knees and turn to Him. But when He gives you that, He's also going to make a way of escape. Man, so many times I've talked to people and I've felt the same thing myself. I can't wait till God gets me out of this temptation. That's not what it says. Man, we want God to bail us out of the storm. We want God to pull us out of the situation. And there are times when He gives us enough sense to turn and run, like Joseph. But here, don't miss this. He will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. and to bear something, you're still in the midst of it. But the way of escape is just to know, like when Stephen is being stoned, God provided a way of escape. Stephen looked up and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That was his way of escape. Your way of escape is focusing on God. Your way of dealing with the temptation, whatever it happens to be, if you change your focus from that temptation to focusing on God, then you will be able to bear whatever temptation is there. Well, Pastor, we know we're going to face temptations, and we know how to face them. You know, the Bible tells us that if we'll hide God's Word in our heart, we might not sin against Him, Psalm 119:11. We know that temptations are coming. We know Jesus dealt with them. So, how does that affect your week? How does that change what you do in this week? If you don't see temptation as a stumbling block, then you're going to run right into it. I could never run hurdles when I was growing up because they were taller than I was. But I could see them ahead of me. And I knew either to run around them or go under them or just dive over. But when I saw them, I knew to alter my plan. So many times as Christians, we just want to plow right through the temptation. God gives us the mentality, the understanding, the intelligence to, if I see that hurdle in front of me, do something about it. Figure out a way to get away from it. Figure out a way to deal with it, focusing on Him. You are going to face temptations this week that can destroy your relationship with God. It's coming. That's a guarantee. Oh, well, I've made it through temptations before and I seem to be doing okay. Well, we can go back to Luke and when it talks about Jesus being tempted and after that third temptation, Satan left. And it says He would wait and come back at a convenient time. If you think because you've beat temptation in the past, it's not coming back, look out, that hurdle's going to be right in front of you. We have to understand that temptation affects everything we do. The people that are watching us, if you don't fight temptation, then the people watching you will probably not fight temptation either. Because that's a normal thing. That's life. So wherever you're at, if you think you're too good for temptation, if you think you can handle it, if you think you just it's easier to give in to it, or if you don't recognize it, wherever you're at, understand that it's coming. And it's coming to destroy your relationship with God. Now, you may be sitting here and you say, well, I don't have a relationship with God. One of those subtle temptations is attacking you. It's attacking Christians too, but it's attacking you. Because if you think you can go on living the life you're living, everything will be okay. I'll get time later to decide. Something's tempting you just to keep doing what you're doing. Sometimes we have in our mind that a temptation is trying to cause me to alter and do something different. No, sometimes temptations, and everybody ought to hear this, sometimes temptations are to keep us doing what we're doing. God wants you to be in the center of His will. And sometimes when we're not, the temptation is to keep doing what you're doing. The temptation is to keep doing what you're doing. Are you exactly where God wants you? That's the only time you can keep doing what you're doing. That's the only time I can keep doing what I'm doing. is when I'm exactly in the center of God's will. But as a non-Christian, if you keep doing what you're doing, then you will never have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And Christians, if you keep settling for doing, hey, I'm 75% okay, then you will never be 100. Temptations can seize you if you give in to them and you allow them to lure you away, away from where God desires you to be. Today's your opportunity to take a stand. Maybe it's that first stand to step up and say, I want God to show me temptations. Because if you pray and say, God, show me the temptations I don't see in my life. Because we all see those ones that we look like huge hurdles that we can dodge. But it's those ones that we don't acknowledge, that we don't think are going to affect us. They're the ones that are going to take you out. And the only way is to focus on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who gives us freedom in Christ, a freedom from that bondage of sin that all comes when we fall to temptation. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you so much. Lord, I know there are times in my life when I just feel like I'm okay. That in itself, Lord, I know is wrong. Lord, I pray you move in this place. I pray you speak to us. Help us to see the things in our life that are keeping us from being what you want us to be. Lord, I thank you and I praise you for your Spirit. Move among us, Father, I pray, in your name.